The world we know is changing. I'm Moira Gunn, and welcome to Biotech Nation. Today on Tech Nation, we're talking about inflammation, how it's there, and how we know it's being reduced, both over a lifetime and in response to the accidents and incidents of living. Dr. David Beers is the president and CEO of Halea Therapeutics. And now, Dr. David Beers. Dr. Beers, welcome to the program.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Now, everyone is wary of inflammation, whether it's in their joints, in their gums, and wounds, anywhere in their body. And you talk about the inflammasome. That's like inflammation, but it ends with zome, S-O-M-E. What is the inflammasome?
Yeah, the inflammasome is a large protein complex that forms inside of specific types of cells in our body that regulates the immune inflammatory response. And it's something, you know, I'm a cell biologist. I have a PhD in cell biology, and, you know, I've taught cell biology at large universities, and I never have taught anybody about this because it's a fairly new discovery. We actually didn't know this thing existed inside of our cells until just a few years ago, but we're starting to find out that this plays a major role in regulating not just the normal healthy inflammation, but the kind of inflammation that is now associated with a lot of chronic diseases, and we call it chronic inflammation.
Now, the inflammasome is part of, at least what it's made up of, are the red blood cells and the white blood cells that we have, right? Those are all together?
That's correct. Yeah. So the immune cells are our white blood cells in our body. And so when we produce immune white blood cells, they can react to different signals and can propagate a signaling to say to other cells, there's a problem here. It's time to come and fix this thing. And so that's part of our immune system is constantly looking for what we call danger or damage signals that tell the immune system there's a problem. And when they see that, certain immune cells will activate this complex of proteins that will then ask for more help to come, to say more of these immune cells need to come here and need to fix whatever is wrong. So there's an interplay between all of our blood cells and how they get affected. So our blood cells are all produced in our bone marrow, and our bone marrow is inside. It's a tissue that lives inside of our bones, and it's maybe the hardest working tissue in our body. It replenishes all of our blood, both our red blood cells and white blood cells, and even our platelets, which are involved in clotting. It replenishes those every single day of our life. So we're constantly turning over these cells. And so there's this interplay, this connection and interaction between red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, all communicating with each other. And it's remarkable that this works really, really well for most of our life. But just like everything, it's impacted by inflammation. It's impacted by, as we age, it's impacted by our aging as well.
Now, tell me what happens as you age.
Yeah. So, you know, I think all of us, especially, you know, as we get older, we start feeling the effects of it. I tell students all the time when I used to teach classes, there's really no reason at the cellular level why we age. But when we put a bunch of cells together in an organism, we see that every organism that lives on the earth will age. And our tissues, you know, we used to think that aging was just our tissues got tired. They just ran out of juice to be able to do what they were supposed to do, and they quit functioning properly. But aging is quite interesting, and we've learned a lot about it. And one of the areas that I've been focused on is what happens to your blood cells as you age. So as I mentioned, our bone marrow is a hard-working tissue. It's turning over red blood cells and white blood cells every day of our life. And, you know, we used to think, oh, it just runs out of gas as we get older. It's not as good as it used to be. But what we've discovered is as we accumulate damage over our lifetime, you know, we these bodies of ours accumulate all kinds of wear and tear. You know, we can feel it as we age. Our joints don't work as well as they used to. Our bone marrow has the same thing happening inside of it. So there are these signals that I talked about, these danger and damage signals that tell our immune system there's a problem here. And as we accumulate that damage over our lifetime, we start to see kind of this low smoldering inflammation. So what we've discovered is that when you're young, your red blood cells and your white blood cells are produced by a lot of cells in your bone marrow. You have these cells called progenitor cells, or we call them stem cells sometimes. And those cells are producing all of your blood cells. And when you're young, there's lots of those kinds of progenitor or stem cells making all of your blood. As you get older, you start to see that one clone, one single progenitor cell line inside your blood is producing most of your blood. And that's remarkable. When we first, as a scientific community, when we first discovered that a few years ago, it was just kind of an oddity. We said, oh, that's kind of weird. You know, why does one cell take over as we get older? But what we've discovered now is it is a part of the aging process that seems to be predisposing us to a lot of other conditions. So when we're young, our bone marrow is healthy. It's producing lots of blood cells from lots of different stem cells. As we get older, one particular clone seems to take over and produce most of our blood. And what we've discovered is that those clones are not normal. And as we age, we start to see accumulation of mutations. And when you have mutations in blood cells, they're not acting like a normal, healthy blood cell should act. And so we're starting to ask the question, what does that mean? What does that mean to human diseases? Is there something significant about that? And I think we can say definitively, there is something significant about it. It's having mutated blood cells is not a positive thing. And as we get older, we have more and more of them.
Now, at any age, if there's a problem with those cells that produce the red and the white blood cells, you have a problem. You have a medical condition. What would be something we're familiar with?
Yeah. So if you can't make blood cells, you know, I think the most familiar thing to everybody is the word anemia. And anemia just means anemia means you have a deficiency in red blood cells. So you're not able to either produce enough red blood cells or functionally, you're not able to make functional red blood cells. So that's, an anemia, we all probably experience anemia at some point in time in our life. Women are more susceptible to it and children are actually quite susceptible to it. But I think all of us are familiar with anemia. And anemia, there's a lot of causes. But as we've started to look at it, we've realized that inflammation in our bone marrow is one of the main causes and drivers of anemia. So when you get inflammation, this inflammatory signaling in your bone marrow, it prevents the differentiation of these stem cells into red blood cells. And so we can see a big percentage of the world's population. We're talking about billions of people, not millions, but literally billions of people every year suffer from anemia. And a good portion of that is connected to inflammation.
Now, I have to say, there's no doubt that you really want this to be working well.
That's right.
And all kinds of things could cause it to not be working well. And when it doesn't, you know, it's related to inflammation, and inflammation drives so many things. But let's look at what Halea Therapeutics is focusing on. What are you focusing on in the inflammasome?
So we discovered a few years ago that the inflammasome, this big protein complex in your cells, needs a lot of different components to come together at the right place and the right time to do what it does. And we discovered that this gets messed up in different diseases, and that's where chronic inflammation, that's where it starts. So we discovered a way to turn it off by blocking the assembly of this complex. And so we have a little drug that we designed. We actually designed it on a computer. We used what's called structure-based drug design. So we solved the structure of this protein that's part of the inflammasome, and we designed a drug to go in and bind to this site on this protein that blocks its ability to form this big complex. And when we do that, we can show that we can dampen this signaling that comes from the inflammasome. And in fact, even cells that have had this complex formed, we can watch that complex go away. And so, you know, it's a general mechanism that's associated with chronic inflammation. And so, you know, when we discovered this, we said, wow, you know, what can we do with this? Where is this important? You know, where should we try it? And, you know, because of my background and things that I've worked on in the past, I knew that there was this very specific bone marrow disease called myelodysplastic syndrome, or MDS. So MDS is a type of leukemia that's contained in your bone marrow. And we know that it is completely dependent upon this pathway, the inflammasome, to actually form MDS and to maintain MDS. And so it's a driver of this disease. So I called some of my friends that are experts in this area, some doctors that treat these patients. And I said, what if I had a way that I could turn this thing off? Do you think that we could look at that in human patients? And so we designed a clinical trial where we could take MDS patients. And right now, the way that we treat MDS, by the way, is these patients, they because they have such strong inflammation happening in their bone marrow cannot make red blood cells, and they can't make good white blood cells. And so what happens is, we call it a bone marrow failure. So the bone marrow just doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And the best way that we can treat it early on is we just give people transfusions. So they come in, they're very anemic, they feel terrible. And so we just give them blood. And you can imagine that's not a great way to live your life, having to come in every week and get a transfusion. Some of these people, that's what they have to do.
So you're actually giving them red blood cells and white blood cells, even though they didn't create them themselves.
Exactly. So we just say, well, they can't make them, so let's just give them from somebody else. And so that's kind of how we're trying to treat the disease. It doesn't get at the core of the disease, right? So that's not really an effective therapy, because we're just trying to replace one of the problems. But the real problem, the driver of this disease, happens in their bone marrow, and it's driven by inflammation. So obviously, we studied it in the lab, and we said, well, what would happen if we treated with our drug in a model of this? And what we saw was we could actually differentiate. So we could take marrow, bone marrow, and, you know, we just stick a needle into the hip bone of somebody, and we pull out some of their marrow, and we can grow that in the lab. And so patients that have MDS, we can show that they're not producing red blood cells and they're not producing white blood cells. And then we treat with our drug, and we start to see they're starting to differentiate. And we can see that they can move past that block that happened because of inflammation. So that got us very excited. And so obviously we had to jump through all of the experiments that need to be done to get this ready to go into people. But we're actually treating real people with this disease now. And we're asking the question, what does this do to their ability to make red blood cells if we can turn off inflammation in their blood? And so we're excited about where we're at. We just launched this study a couple months ago. And so we hope by the end of this year, we can release some data and say, this actually has an impact on this disease. And by getting rid of inflammation, we can actually restore the body's ability to produce red blood cells and white blood cells normally again.
So it's almost as if they still have the capability to produce the red and white blood cells, but the structure of the inflammasome, as it gets going, it stops it. It counteracts it.
That's exactly right. So it basically arrests these cells. So if you think about a stem cell, that's an undifferentiated cell. It can become all kinds of things. That's what the definition of a stem cell is. It has the ability to turn into other types of cells. So there's a common progenitor cell in your bone marrow that can turn into white blood cells and red blood cells and platelets. And when you induce the inflammasome and cause this inflammation, it stops it from being able to do that. So if I can take that away, all of a sudden we start to see the ability of these cells to differentiate into red blood cells and white blood cells and platelets.
A couple of interesting stories here. One is that so many of us have had surgeries, small surgeries, large surgeries, and around the wound and in our bodies, there's inflammation. There's been an insult to your body. Is that the same kind of inflammation? Is that affected by this?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The inflammation that is triggered by a surgery, your body sees that as the same kind of damage response that it would if you broke your leg or you cut your finger. And so obviously we're going in and we're trying to excise out or trying to fix something that's wrong with a surgery. But we induce all this inflammation. And we used to think, back in the old days, 20, 30 years ago, the old days, right, scientifically,
yeah,
that inflammation, that might be really good, right? I mean, because your body's responding to it, and it's part of the healthy response to a injury or an infection. But what we've discovered is that most of the inflammation after a procedure is actually not helping with the healing process. So it actually by turning on this inflammasome, which is exactly what you do when you have, when you cause damage, you're actually preventing the healing process. And that's why we try to, you know, put ice on, you know, when we have an injury, is we try to stop the immune response that's happening. And we take, you know, drugs like non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or other types of drugs that we've had available to us, but none of those drugs will turn off the inflammasome. And so we're just trying to stop some of the downstream signaling that comes. But until now, we've never had something that could turn off the real driver of the inflammatory response. And so we're super excited about the idea. What happens if we just turn that thing off? What if we stop it? Could we heal faster? And what we've seen in the lab is it certainly looks like we can. So we can go in and do, you know, surgical procedures in the laboratory and show that we can see healing is actually faster when you turn off this inflammasome signaling.
Now we're going to try that in humans?
Absolutely.
That was anytime soon.
That's right. So in fact, as we're recording this right now, we're actually treating people today. We just got the first go ahead to treat some people to see what happens post-procedure. And the nice thing about this is we can actually watch what happens in their blood. So after you have a procedure, after you have a surgery done, you will see induction of inflammatory signaling in your blood. You can actually monitor that. So you see these signals go up and we can see what happens. So what we're doing is we're seeing with patients what happens after their surgery when we don't give them their therapy to target the inflammasome, and then what happens when we give them therapy to target the inflammasome, and we see how different that inflammatory response is. And the nice thing from a drug development standpoint is that's a pretty short study. We have a captured population of people that are having a procedure, and then we watch just over the course of a week what happens to their inflammation. And so we can get a readout very, very quickly, which is exciting for us, because sometimes we design clinical studies that take literally years to figure out what's going on. In this case, we hope that we can see a signal very, very quickly.
Now, what are the first surgeries you're looking at?
So we have a very interesting situation that exists where we are located. So our headquarters is in Utah, right south of Salt Lake City. And so the first surgeries that we're doing are actually connected to where we're at in Utah. So we have a population of young individuals that are headed out as missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormon Church. And all of those missionaries that are going out, they all have to have dental exams, and they need to have their wisdom teeth removed.
Whether there's a problem or not. Because we can't handle this if there's a problem when you're somewhere in the world.
That's right. We send them all over the world. They go all over the place. And so it was just decided that prophylactically, it's a good idea to take your wisdom teeth out, because for a young, healthy person, it's one of the things that can actually cause a complication if they're in wherever, in Africa or, you know, wherever. We send them all over the place. So what we decided, and we designed this study to ask the question, well, when you pull your third molars or your wisdom teeth out, you actually cause not just a local inflammation in your jaw where you pull that tooth out, but it actually causes a systemic inflammatory response. You activate that inflammasome and your whole body says, hey, we've got a problem here. So we're actually doing in literally today, we're dosing patients where we can see what happens if we extract this tooth and we turn off the inflammasome. What happens to the signaling for inflammation? And the implications here are big. So if we can show that we can block, by blocking the inflammasome, we can block that systemic inflammatory response, we hope that leads to faster recovery after a surgery by suppressing inflammation. So we already know that if you can get back to work and get back to, you know, activity quickly after a surgery, your outcomes are better. If you feel lousy and you're just laying around for a while, you actually do worse. And so trying to get people back and recover quickly is a really important part of the recovery from surgeries. And inflammation plays a big role in people not feeling like they can get back and get back to normal activity. So if it works there, the next step is, let's see where else it works. Does it work in some of the standard places that we look is bunion surgery, tummy tuck surgery. Those are also very, very captured populations. But even, you know, in knee replacements and hip replacements and very common surgeries that we have all the time, we know that this pathway is activated. And we're very, very interested to see if we can help people recover faster by turning off that inflammation.
Well, I mispronounced the name of your company when we first met. I said Halia, H-A-L-I-A. And I was like, no, it's Halia, which is Hawaiian. You guys are all over the place. Okay. Yeah. How did we get this name Halia?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I, myself and one of our co-founders, a Hawaiian scientist, and there's not many scientists from Hawaii, so he's kind of a unique individual. But his name is Keone Kawe, and so Keone and I got together to start Halia with the idea that we could target inflammation in the brain, and we actually discovered this in a very interesting way. So Keone is a human geneticist. So he studies risk factors based off of our genetics. So he looks at variations in genes and what that does to risk for different diseases. So he's looking for, you know, the places in our DNA where we have differences and how that is correlated with our risk for developing different diseases. And his specific interest has been in neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's. And so he came to me and said, hey, I discovered something really interesting. So there's a very well-known risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. It's called the APOE4, and it's a polymorphism, and I guess you could call it a mutation, but it's a different DNA sequence in this gene called APOE. And if you have this flavor of that gene, your risk for Alzheimer's is quite high relative to the rest of the population. So he was studying this, and he actually found a family. And once again, it comes back to Utah. We have large families in Utah usually. And he found a family in Utah that had this polymorphism, the APOE4. But nobody in their history, their medical history in their family, nobody got Alzheimer's disease. So he actually organized a family reunion, got all those people to come, and they all consented to be studied to see why, with this genetics that should predispose them to Alzheimer's, why none of them got Alzheimer's. And so we were able to sequence over 200 individuals in this family, and we discovered they had another unique DNA polymorphism or mutation that actually look like it was associated with preventing Alzheimer's. And so when we started the company, the whole goal of the company was to figure out, well, what does this do? And we started the name of the company, Halia, is a Hawaiian name that means fond memories. And so we started with the idea that we could target Alzheimer's. And in fact, we haven't given up on that. In fact, very, very soon we should be announcing that our second drug that we're moving into the clinic is actually targeting this exact pathway that we discovered and trying to replicate what we discovered genetically in this family with a new drug that can have the same kind of activity. And in fact, it comes right back down to inflammation as well. So what we discovered is this family has a mutation. We call it a resilience mutation because they're resilient to a lot of things. They have less heart disease, they have less cancer, they have less Alzheimer's. And it's interesting that it's due to their ability to have lower response to inflammation. So we're excited about the idea that we can take a genetic discovery and translate that into something that we could actually use as a therapeutic.
You know, here we have Dave Beers, you know, drug hunter, drug discoverer, Dr. Beers, very impressive. And I do have a question for you along these lines. I mean, you have founded 8 biotech companies. You've discovered many drugs. 16 of those drugs have actually moved into human clinical trials. Then I have to tell you, that's an impressive record. How is your current experience with Halia the same, and how is it different from your earlier experience?
Yeah, it's been an amazing career for me. I love what I do. I get up every morning thinking today could be the day we make a discovery that changes the world. And you know, that's not hyperbole. That's real, right? I mean, we can actually find things that change diseases in people, and that's just amazing to me. So when I first started, I was very naive in terms of starting a company, and really my motivation to start a company is I discovered I was a professor. I was, you know, in a lab, you know, doing research there, and we discovered something that we thought could be a new therapy that could help people. And I went to a mentor of mine that I learned a lot from, and said to him, well, how do I take this from my lab and turn it into something that could help people? And he said, well, you're probably the only person in the world that's going to believe in this. And so if you want to see it move forward, you probably need to do it yourself. And so I actually took the leap and just said, okay. I walked away from a tenure-track faculty position at a major research university and just decided I'm going to start a little company. And I barely even knew what a stock was, a share in a company. I hardly knew any of that. But thankfully, I had a great partner helped me put together the first company. But, you know, I had no idea how hard it was to raise the money and to go through all the process of getting the supporting information to show that the drug could actually be safe and potentially effective in people. And so I guess what's different about Halea is that I had 7 other tries to learn a lot of stuff that and make every mistake that you can make. And hopefully I'm not making very many anymore. But I tell people all the time, I earned all the white hair that I have because I've probably made every mistake that you can. But what's kept me going is, you know, I really want to make a difference in people's lives. I lost my grandfather the year I was born, never had a relationship with him, don't know him. I have one picture of me as a baby, him holding me, and that's it. That's all I know about him. And I lost my mom when she was young, both of cancer. And I just decided, you know what, if I can spend my life and make it so other people's moms and grandpas can be around a little longer, that's not a bad life to live. And so for me, that's what keeps me going every day is can I make a discovery that can keep people's grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads around a little longer? And you know, it's amazing to me that you know, we've been able to work on projects that you know, are now approved drugs, things that people use and they have extended the life of people. But it's never enough for me. I want to have number 17, 18, 19, 20, you know, to keep finding the next one. So I'm not going to stop.
Dr. Beer, I'm thrilled that you're not going to stop personally.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming on. I hope you come back, visit us again.
I'd love to. I'd love to tell you the when we get some results, show you what's happened and what the next big thing is.
You're on. You're on. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot.
Dr. David Beers is the co-founder, president, and CEO of Halea Therapeutics. More information is available at haleatx.com. That's Halia, haleatx.com. Listen to more biotech podcasts at biotechnation.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. Biotech Nation is a regular feature of the weekly public radio program Tech Nation. Listen to the full show via podcast or on your local public radio station. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.